Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 9:02 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It's I, Santa Crow 2 on Twitter. You'll find me at Santa Crow on Venmo. That's the tip line. Yeah. Thanks for coming out. We know you have a choice in podcasts, and so thank you for choosing this one. To one side of me, as always, the rumor monger at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for...
I don't have anything for the S, but how, yeah. How was Bluey?
How was Bluey? Bluey's always good, man.
Yeah. I love Bluey.
But... yeah, one of these days I'm going to become friends with Bandit Healer, the dad in Bluey. I'm going to try to be more like Bandit Healer every day, too. It's one of my goals.
Is he your hero?
He really is like dad hero. Yeah. He is so good. And that show is so clutch. To the other side of me, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR, a man who probably knows a little bit about Bandit Healer and the Healer family, it's the AU Chief.
Hello.
Now, guys, here we are. We are hard on March.
Careful.
It is tomorrow.
Yeah. March is tomorrow. That's what my son told me today.
They're barreling down.
I do know a bit about the Bandit Healer and the Bluey family. You know, I own a Australian cattle dog.
Now we're talking.
Bowie, my dog, it looks much like Muffin, their cousin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a good dog. Good dog.
Bandit Healer, man. What my a hero sucks. To us all.
Bandit is great. I like Chili Dog as well.
Chili's a great dog name. It really is.
Yeah, it's perfect. Every dog on that show is named perfectly.
Yeah. The show's like, it's only thing I need is more episodes. It's like,
well, there are new ones, but we don't get them until
no way.
Who knows when.
You gotta get an Australian VPN.
Three. Yeah.
They still haven't put out a season 3 yet?
Yeah. No, there is a season 3 out. We don't get it.
For the US, though, yeah. I was about to say.
It's somewhere in Australia.
I've seen pretty much all of the first two seasons with my nephews.
And then you are aware that there are 100 episodes, right? There's like 50 episodes a season.
Right, because they're like 8 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great show. Even if you don't have kids, watch it because it is hilarious.
It's genuinely so kind and wonderful.
And it's wholesome,
yeah.
But also still funny.
Yeah.
And still.
And not as
annoying. Is it this generation's Phineas and Ferb?
No.
I know Chief's a big fan.
Phineas and Ferb's different. I mean, it is. There's a similar vibe.
For older kids, too, Phineas
and
Ferb.
But. Yeah.
This show is like. It's so different than the other kids' programming because there's just. There's not a single character that annoys parents.
Yeah.
Whereas most kids' TV, there's one or two characters like almost tailor-made to annoy mom and dad.
Well,
I don't know why.
Also, there's no like gross-out stuff. The animation's like really, really good. It just fits the show perfectly. And but it's not overly like – it's not like Daniel Tiger, like overly like
right.
cute and teachy. I don't know. It's really, really good stuff, and everyone should watch it.
Yep. All right. Speaking of good stuff, Auburn gymnastics. I don't know. They're going to the national championship in gymnastics.
I mean, they're ranked the same as our basketball team right now.
So. Yeah, top five gymnastics team. Setting program records left and right.
Yeah, they set their program record again Friday. I think that's the second or third time they've done it this year, and they also had like their second best before they did any of that.
Yeah.
So I got to imagine most of their top five, six program scores in history have been set this year.
Hasn't SUNY won at least eight straight events at this point?
She's won five
she
or six straight all around
ball last week. All around. Yeah.
I mean, well, I thought she swept at LSU and this.
I don't
past
know
weekend.
About LSU. She
definitely
LSU did. Was a couple weeks ago now.
Okay.
Yeah, Kentucky was this past Friday. She had got three out of four. She stumbled a little bit on the landing on the vault.
Okay.
And, you know, only got a 9.825. But all around of 39.775, that would be good for tied for third best in the country this year with her former Olympian teammate, Grace McCollum. Had a 10 on the beam. Should have had a 10 on both the floor and the bars. The judges were split on them. But
Is this the first time, like, it seems like all of the participants in the Olympics went to college? Like,
yeah, that's NIL.
Yeah, it's NIL.
Yeah,
it's an crazy. Interesting. It's interesting that like I don't think anybody when NIL was passed, anybody thought, oh, gymnastics is going to be the sport that most dramatically improves.
Well, immediately that girl at LSU like got some huge NIL deals, like right.
She had the most Instagram followers of any college athlete. So all of a sudden it was like she's selling teeth whitening strips for $1 million a post or something like that.
Well, I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, though, because gymnastics is one sport where, I mean, they're probably making – most of them other than SUNY are probably making way more money now through NIL than they would otherwise because nobody
they would,
pays attention to
it. Yeah, than they will in 4 years. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's no – I don't know. I don't even know if there is a professional circuit of any sort in this country.
It's, I just think it's not professional. It's
you're just preparing for the next Olympics.
Yeah,
usually, right. But yeah, I mean, getting them to be in a competitive environment, you know, during this between Olympic period, I'm sure that can only help. And it, like for Auburn, obviously SUNY, but. We also brought in a lot of other freshmen with this class, and maybe that's just because they wanted to compete with SUNY, or maybe this was just the elite recruiting class year for Auburn. But this team is good. It's young, and they're going to be a lot of fun. They've got Florida this weekend, or Friday. Florida is number three in the country, and I don't think I have to say how good they are. They're kind of up there, like, you know, Alabama, Oklahoma. They're just one of those programs that you know are always good. But this will, I think, it's the last home meet of the season, and then Auburn will host NCAA regionals first weekend of April. So, if you want to get a chance to see Auburn, see SUNY here, come check it out Friday.
The announcers mentioned that somehow Florida has already clinched at least a share of the SEC. Title somehow.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure how like SEC titles work or anything.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know for rankings, wins and losses don't mean anything. It's just your
aggregate score.
Yeah, yeah. Or average they have score. Some way of calculating it called NQS, National Qualifying Scores. I don't know exactly what goes into that, but I know Auburn actually. You have to have so many scores over the season before you can post an NQS. So I think it's like. Six total scores, three have to be on the road. And Auburn hasn't had three road meets yet. So, but season's ending pretty soon. I think, I mean, Auburn's in a good spot to do really well in the postseason. So.
Someone who does know a lot about this is Justin Lee. And if you are into this, give him a follow on the tweets because he's keeping us informed. He had an article today that was fantastic about Sophia Groth. It was
another freshman on the team.
Yeah, man. Did you read that piece, Ryan?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It is so. It's about. If you don't know her story, she was abandoned as a 4-day old on the streets of China, and then taken to an orphanage and eventually adopted by a family in Iowa.
Shout out to the one child policy.
Yeah, exactly. And this family in Iowa adopted her and raised her, and she likes gymnastics and is one of the best in the country.
You say family, it's her mom is not married, wasn't ever
That's right,
married,
single just, mom. That's right, a single yeah, mom single adopted mom. Her. That's absolutely right. I forgot about that part.
Adopted her and her older sister, her sister from Kazakhstan, who, funnily enough, they grew up in Iowa. Her sister went to Alabama. She went to Auburn.
And her sister's a swimmer or something like that.
No, her mom was a swimmer at Iowa State. That's her right. sister is just on an academic scholarship. But no, it's a really good story, though. Just kind of her background and bio about growing up and doing gymnastics. And I don't know. I don't want to tell the whole story.
No, it's worth a read.
Check it out. And
Justin's been one of the few who have been pounding the pavement about Auburn gymnastics for a long time. All right. Speaking of people who have been pounding the pavement for a sport, this podcast is known first and foremost as the Auburn Soccer Podcast of record. Auburn Soccer, you can't start off any better than they did. 2-0 in spring exhibitions. They beat Clemson and Kennesaw State, combined 4-1 in those two games. 2 goals from Anna Haddock, who is just on an absolute tear going back to the end of last season. And yeah, that's how it went.
Yeah, she had a game winner against Clemson. It's just these spring exhibitions, they're kind of like the preseason exhibitions where you're playing a lot of different people.
And they're weird because you'll play 2 games in a week and then not play for a month.
Right. Yeah, Clemson was like 8 days ago. Kennesaw was on Friday, and then won't play again until March 26th. Yeah. So,
and none of these games count. Now, they don't count officially, but they will count. Like Top Drawer Soccer will probably utilize.
They help inform preseason polls.
Yeah, their preseason rankings.
They don't. They're not a part of your ranking necessarily. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of my basis for why I think we should be able to play an FCS game instead of A-Day.
I agree.
Having a friendly in spring against not your own roster, not that it has to be counting like a real game, but there's no reason not to. I mean,
we should play it at Alabama A&M.
Sure. Yeah. Go play UNA. Go play.
Yeah. How fun would that be? Auburn plays a game in March in Huntsville. I know one person who would be there. His name's James Jones. Listens to the podcast.
He might be there if they played.
Would they serve beer?
On the moon, but
I don't know. Question. I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know what Alabama A&M's beer policy is.
Yeah, Alabama A&M's beer policy is.
let's find out. Do they serve beer in New Market, Alabama? Do they even sell beer in New Market, Alabama?
Because they can't. They probably don't. They can't play the game at the Von Braun Center. All right.
Should play it at the Trash Panda Stadium.
There it is.
Toyota Stadium.
All right. Baseball. This is a thing that we do on this podcast is we give you up-to-date information on Auburn baseball.
Look, it's been a great start to the spring.
It really has.
Season for like all of these teams. And we're not experts on it, but we can talk about it a little
bit. No, we're not experts on it, but that's why people come to this podcast. If they want an expert opinion, they'd go somewhere else. You came here because you want the everyman opinion on these things.
Brian and I were having a few brewskis adjacent to the first game on Friday. We were killing them already, so I wasn't paying that much attention.
On Wednesday.
You're Troy the deck?
Game. Wednesday, you're right. Yeah, Wednesday, yeah. The Troy game. Never mind. Yeah.
You're on the deck?
It is a lot of fun. Yeah, the deck. It's a lot of fun to pregame a basketball game by beating up on a baseball team.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 80 degrees outside.
Especially when it's Troy.
Yeah.
Troy.
I would also say that the parking deck is the premier venue in collegiate athletics, especially baseball.
It was fun. It was real rowdy and strange up there. I've never seen it as packed as it was.
Nice.
I've seen it that way once or twice, and usually when you get a good weather game, the first week or two, you know, people want to get outside, hang out.
Yeah, it was like 75 at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's it was incredible.
You know, shorts weather for the first time this year.
Not quite full of pollen yet.
That's my second game wearing shorts.
That's later this week.
I don't think this has ever happened. That was my second game wearing shorts to a basketball game this year. Shorts and t-shirts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Kevin Ives, the I would say the czar of the parking deck, but czar seems...
Yeah, let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, a bit problematic these days.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The imperator. Parking deck imperator.
Impresario.
Impresario, Kevin Ives. Go see him. Kiss the ring if you go up there. It is it's the place to be.
I learned a new term this week that also it's Russian, so probably not what you want to go by. Thief-in-law. Never heard that one before.
No way.
Thief-in-law. Yeah, yeah. It is a government-sanctioned crime boss, apparently.
I guess it translates
directly to thief-in-law, and so they just go with that, thief-in-law.
Every time I read anything about the way that their stuff works over there, it sounds like Jabba the Hutt. Like, this all sounds like there's just these crime families, or like a mix between The Sopranos and like Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Well, they are all about as healthy as Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. If you've ever seen any like Russian oligarch.
We're going to get on a list, and I'm happy to be on that list. This podcast officially takes a stance with Ukraine. That's
we're right out in the cowards.
Way. Yeah.
So did my football club, despite having deep ties to a Russian oligarch currently.
Yeah. Not as deep as they could be.
Another team
in blue.
Chelsea. Yeah. That one. Yikes. Big yikes.
Speaking of big yikes, Sonny DiChiara? Is that how you say this name? DiChiara?
DiChiara. So this is the first time I've seen his name.
I always thought it was DiChiara.
You thought it was DiChiara, didn't you?
I did think it was DiChiara because that's how Brad Law was saying it.
That's how I thought it was spelled, like Mark DiChiara.
Yeah.
No, it's
this one's Italian, apparently, rather than Mexican. Is that what DiChiara is?
I don't know. But Sonny looks like he may have had a little bit of pasta, and he puts it all on the baseball.
There we go.
Yeah, he's been tearing it up the first couple weeks here. Over 31 plate appearances, hitting .545, slugging over 1,000, 3 home runs, 7 RBIs, 6 doubles, 5 walks. He's been hit 3 times because he's that good, I guess, making pitchers mad already. And even more incredibly, only 2 strikeouts over those 31 plate appearances.
So that's 8 free bases he's gotten?
8 free bases. So he's only had 22 at-bats, technically, and 9 extra base hits in those 22 at-bats.
Wow.
That's incredible. I feel like there's no good time to make this correction. DiChiara is not Mexican. It is Portuguese or Brazilian.
Now we're talking.
Where DiChiara usually is. So shout out to Dr. C.
Dr. C.
Also Portuguese descent.
Mark DiChiara, I believe, went to Georgia Tech. I don't know where he's from originally.
Noted the Portuguese stronghold. Georgia Tech.
No, I don't know what you're referring to there.
I don't know. Mark DiChiara played baseball for the Texas Rangers and the New York Yankees.
Yeah. He had to stop with the Braves. Yeah.
Oh, traded the farm for him, and then he left Koopa. Here.
Yeah. I was like, oh, we got Mark DiChiara, the comic book artist.
Auburn baseball plays 6 games in the next.
Annapolis, Maryland. Sorry.
Auburn plays 6 games in the next 6 days. All home games. Fun. So you can go see your Tigers play whenever you want over the next week.
You can go every night except for Thursday night. On Thursday, go see the Batman. Actually, don't if you're in Auburn because I don't want it to be a full crowd. Want to be able to get a good seat.
I'm afraid it's going to be slammed. In fact, I'm going to buy my ticket.
Oh, sweet.
So Auburn plays Alabama State on Tuesday at 6. The Blazers of UAB at 6 on Wednesday.
Blaze up.
The Rams of Rhode Island at 6 on Friday.
we play Rhode Island again on Saturday and Sunday. A doubleheader on Saturday. That 2 o'clock, if I were living in Auburn, that 2 o'clock Saturday game, I would be, depending on the weather, I'd be making a beeline for that deck.
Well, it's right after the basketball game.
Finish the basketball better, game going to, yeah.
Even yeah. better. And if you don't have tickets
enjoy,
to the basketball
enjoy
game.
Enjoy your SEC winning Auburn Tigers and just go sit outside for a little while.
Yeah, if you don't have tickets to the basketball game, just go listen to.
Come visit Ryan and Golston and I while we watch baseball and tailgate.
Yeah, and just listen to the game on the radio. I'm sure somebody will have Sonny Smith going up there.
Probably it'll be a Bradlaugh special on Saturday, if I had to guess.
At the basketball
unless
game?
Andy runs right over to
oh,
me.
Sorry. I thought...
No, I'm
we're
saying...
We're going to go watch basketball.
For some reason, I thought you were talking
if
about
you don't
baseball.
Have a ticket to the basketball game, go to the baseball stadium early. Listen to the basketball game.
Gotcha.
And just ride it all the way in.
I would listen to a Sonny Smith baseball game, though. That'd be a lot of fun.
Same. It's like when Bill Walton called that Cubs game that one time.
Oh, wow.
That was like, I think it was 2 years ago, 2019.
Oh, wow. I did not know that happened.
Yeah,
that is incredible.
Oh, dude, there's so many good clips
on TV
of that
or
on
the radio?
I believe on TV. And I want to say it was like Grateful Dead night. And they passed out tie-dye yeah, okay. Cubs t-shirts to everybody.
Amazing.
And they had Bill Walton as the color analyst.
He should just call every game.
I agree. We are a pro Bill Walton podcast. He should call every game. He should replace Lee Corso on game day.
He really should.
It'd be wow. totally nonsense, but I'd watch every minute of it.
I think he might. It might not be worth his time to figure out the weed laws in every state for him to do that, though. So,
I'm sure there's special dispensation for him in most states.
Sure.
All right. Let's talk to the other sports. Softball has started 15-1 on a tear.
Killing it.
Up to 21st in the country in the rankings. They got a tournament at home. They lost to UCLA, but UCLA's number 3 in the nation. I watched some of that game. This is good to see.
Some other ranked teams as well, right?
They're off to a real good start. Let me pull up their schedule just so I don't misspeak on who all they beat.
Pull it up, Ryan. Pull it up. Pull it up, Ryan. Pull it up.
Yeah, softball has a tournament at home this weekend. So before our next podcast, there will be 6 Auburn baseball games, 5 Auburn softball games, all at Auburn. I challenge you to go to at least one of each.
Ryan.
Not necessarily you, Crow, but
I challenge you don't have any kids. I challenge you to go to 6 of each or 3 of each.
All of each?
All of each. Try to hit them all.
Let's see. Auburn has a win over. Hey, your number 11, Texas Longhorns. That game was on Longhorn Network. I don't know if you caught that one, Crow.
I didn't catch it. I don't get Longhorn Network.
That's not like part of your taxes in the state of Texas?
No.
Okay.
No.
Auburn did have a 10-0 win against Jacksonville State for Chief there. Texas is the only ranked winner right now, but they play so many games at the beginning of the like softball mm-hmm. seasons. They play in these tournaments. Slow down.
Someone
a little
told
bit
me that the, it's
season start.
Someone told me it's BYOB at Jane B. Moore Field.
Is it?
I think everywhere. Theoretically, everywhere is BYOB, Chief.
Wow. It's true. Jordan Hare is definitely BYOB.
Ryan,
if you're in the suites, it's officially BYOB.
Ryan, I think you could test that for us. See if you can just bring a Yeti in to Jane B. Moore Field, make a bunch of friends.
Yeah. Make a buck.
Report back.
This weekend. Make
report back next week. Well, guys, I brought 15 Miller Lights to the Alabama State Auburn softball game. I got thrown out.
All right. Do you want to get into basketball now?
All right. Let's do it. Let's first take a quick commercial break. It's going to be 24 minutes around there into this podcast. 23 minutes, 55 seconds.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And we are back. I hope you heard an ad. If not, you just heard me talk about some time and take a quick beat. But it's a natural pause as we go into...
We're brought to you by Bluey.
Brought to you by Bluey.
Yeah.
And Janos Poha.
And John Morant's halftime buzzer beating bucket. That was amazing.
John Morant has been on, and speaking of basketball, has been on unreal tear of highlights in the last two nights. He had that 360 layup that he pulled off. And then tonight, he had a dunk just darn near killed somebody from outside the lane. Jumped over a person and dunked it.
Did you see the one before halftime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Before, just kind of a in midair catch and shoot with like a second left, a little two at the end of the half.
Did you see the opposite of that play, which is the DeAndre Jordan play from yesterday?
No, I didn't
see. No, but I can only imagine.
DeAndre Jordan was, for some reason, found himself with the ball in his hand and decided to dribble it a couple times and throw what I can only imagine in his brain was a three-quarter court alley-oop or a three-quarter court lob pass to somebody. But he threw it, and it went 30 rows into the stands behind the basket, like well over the basket and also well to the left. Like this ball, there's no chance this ball was going anywhere close to regulation play. It is one of the – and then they cut him today. This morning the Lakers cut him.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was so bad that I'm sure LeBron was like, Lakers? We got to get rid of this guy. Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. So Ja's got the potential to be – the next like dude in the NBA, right? Like the face, because
like LeBron, a healthy Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Well, LeBron's on his way out. I mean, it's he's still playing at a high level, but he's just, you know, a dang near 40-year-old can't be the face of your sure. league.
And it's Steph, isn't it?
It's Steph, but Steph too is 35, sure. 36.
Yeah.
So, which is crazy to think about. It's got to be Ja, right?
Yeah.
He's just 33.
Or Luka.
Yeah, I mean, he's not American, so it's not him.
Is it Luka when he's in shape?
I mean, no offense. Like, I don't feel that way. If he's or good,
Giannis.
He's good,
like, Giannis is.
Yeah, I mean, but.
But you're right.
Still,
like,
I think Ja's the American thing.
The American thing matters because, like, Giannis should be the face of the league right now. I mean, he is.
But I don't think Giannis, to me, just doesn't. He's the best player in the NBA, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think his personality. I just don't think he's a superstar in that way. Ja to me, like, and I was turning into the Ja cast, I guess. He
not
just.
The first time.
He's just fun. Like, and he looks like he's having fun at all times. And he's incredible. So, it's probably those three dudes are kind of your next, like, three big stars, maybe.
Yeah. He's to me is like what Derrick Rose could have been if he had never got hurt.
Sure.
And Derrick Rose won an MVP. And so there was a while there where it was like, oh, LeBron and Derrick Rose are going to be the faces of the league.
Yeah.
But then Derrick got hurt. But, like, I just sent you guys, by the way, the DeAndre Jordan pass that I spoke of in our Slack.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to keep that real quick and just see one of the worst plays you've ever seen on a basketball court by a person being paid millions of dollars to do it. It is – there's really no rhyme or reason as to what it is he's trying to do there.
The ball, a couple of dribbles. What?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's how you end up getting cut from the Lakers.
I mean, they're not making the playoffs, right? Or they're
in the hunt to be in that play-in tournament.
Okay, almost everyone's making the play-in tournament, right?
Yeah, fighting Texas Aggie, DeAndre Jordan.
Guys, John Morant does not have a 24/7 page as a high school player.
Wow. Yeah, he went to Murray State, right?
It's created. He has like no ranking, no wow. anything. No crystal ball or anything.
How did that happen?
No other like teams showing interest besides Murray State.
Wow. I wonder if he's one of those dudes that grew like 6 inches in like a year.
He only played at Murray 2 years, right?
2 years, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if he's a guy that grew like 6 inches in like a year. Yeah. So like nobody wants a 5'6" point guard, but
right.
Hey, Bruce Pearl loves a 5'9" point guard though.
Speaking of Bruce Pearl's point guards,
if
Auburn won versus Ole Miss in maybe one of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah, great.
This game and that A&M game, Auburn won 77-64, just trounced the Rebels in three of the four factors and tied them in the other one. Really, this is the closest thing to a complete game we've seen from this team.
Just cruised the whole game.
Everybody contributed who needs to contribute. But this was a great, and everybody felt really good going into Saturday because Kessler looked good. Jabari was really good against Ole Miss, and like
Jabari had a quiet 15-9-5 in that game actually,
and a really efficient 15. Zepp Jasper had 15 points.
Zepp's best game of the year. 15 points on 5 of 7 from the floor. Yeah. I mean he found his shooting stroke and was hitting those threes. I thought Walker was going to get another triple double. I think he had 3 blocks in the first.
He's like, really close.
Of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he hung on. I what was the official 8 blocks? But I'm pretty sure.
I think
sure
he had another
had
one.
They
didn't give him. Yeah.
Yeah, but then he was like at that for the last 12 minutes of the game or so. It's kind of a bummer.
All right, let's move on to the one we don't want to talk. I'll take our medicine here. Auburn lost to Tennessee, even though a lot of advanced stats would say that Auburn should have won that game.
Well, there's one of the metric systems had us at like, or had Tennessee at like 13% chance to win or something like that.
After the game, the post game win expectancy. Yeah.
Right.
Part of that was the breaking of the math on the rebounding.
Yeah.
Wasn't that bad. I'm not going to say it was like, oh, it was outstanding effort or anything, but like it wasn't that bad from Auburn early in the game. But
I think
just every bounce went to Tennessee.
I think the rebounding in this game was just a total fluke. Like they were shooting a lot of threes early on and missing all of them. And they were missing like off the front of the iron and like bouncing in some of the oddest ways. Like one bounced down and up and over everyone into Tennessee guys. Like they were just falling in the exact right places. Part of that's guys getting in the right spot to get a rebound. But they were – a lot of them were just direct rebounds right to a guy or like really far out rebounds that guys had position underneath, couldn't get it. I really feel like the crazy – lopsidedness of the rebounds in this game is a fluke. I
will say that it really hurt Auburn that they had 20 fewer possessions than Tennessee in this game.
Yeah.
The rebounding numbers is 26% for Auburn on the offensive end, and on the Tennessee end, it was 50-50.
Jeez.
They got half of the available rebounds.
And I'll also say, I'm pretty sure it got really lopsided in the first half.
Yes.
Yet we were leading. So
what happened at the beginning of the game, it was, I think, 11-0 on offensive rebounds for Tennessee.
Yeah.
At about 10 to 12 minutes into the game. And that's when Auburn also wasn't shooting well. At the end of the first half, Tennessee couldn't buy a bucket. Auburn goes up to take a 6-point lead. And it kind of normalized from there, but the damage was done on the rebounding, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't win a game going 50% on defensive rebounding, I guess.
No.
Not the way Auburn was shooting, at least.
Right. Right. Yet again, a poor shooting performance on the road. Nobody but Jabari could hit the broadside of the barn. Even Jabari took a lot of shots in this game.
That's what we've been asking for.
I'm for it. Shoot as many as you got to hit 25 points, and that's what he did. So
27 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks on 21 shots from the floor. Got a big bucket at the end of the first half that we've all been asking for. It just both teams under 40% shooting in this game. It's two really like Auburn, Tennessee, two really good defenses.
Yeah,
that's a lot of it.
But. You kind of have to look at that like two really evenly matched defensive teams, and Auburn's not a good 3-point shooting team, and I think that probably is what's the difference here.
Yeah, I think we may have lost Chief.
And the home team's got an advantage, I think. It sucks that we lost. It doesn't hurt anything, any of the goals that the team has right now. Like, we're still one game up in the league. I think there's a lot of people that are probably really down about it because they feel like this team is slipping. There are some concerning things that have come up lately. But here's the thing. We have one more road game. In every other game, we got one more road game, one more home game, and every other game after that will be a neutral site game.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in these tournament games that we've got coming up. One team can get really hot, and you could not hit the broadside of the barn, sure. But Auburn's a really good defensive team. There will be no home court advantage for any of these teams. Let's not be too concerned at this point.
Yeah. Just to put it in perspective, at the end of the 2019 regular season, over Auburn's last 8 games, went 5-3. And two of those were bad losses. Only putting up 55 points at home versus a not good Ole Miss team and scoring 53 at Rupp, losing by 27 to Kentucky. I mean, you felt good about this team, especially with that Tennessee game in the last game of the year, but momentum going into the postseason, like unless it's an injuries kind of thing where like, your team's kind of falling apart, it's not really, you know, playing your best basketball.
Plus,
February doesn't necessarily translate into March.
Sure. February could be peaking too soon too. So the guard play, a little bit concerning. It's inconsistent at best, I would say right now.
The ceiling is still really high.
Yeah, Wendell, it can be really great. I don't look for Zepp to repeat the kind of performance he had against.
No, but it's good to see that he has that in the bag.
Yeah, no, it was great. I love that for him.
Yeah, it's good to see he can go 5-for-7 from 3.
Well, and the thing is, like, he had just stopped shooting. Like, he wasn't even attempting to score in games, and so that was really good to see. I think he needs to do that to keep the pressure on Wendell a little bit too. It's always good to have competition. Wendell struggled in this game. Struggled pretty badly when you look at his stats. I didn't think he was doing anything incredibly bad in this
game. He's getting blasted by national guys now, which is wild. Big time guys are calling him out and really calling Auburn's guards out, and mainly for stuff that a lot of Auburn fans are saying, which is basically like, why are you trying to do too much?
Right. Well, yeah, they're Bruce Pearl guards, right. So they're gonna try to.
You got the best player in this game.
Wendell was 2 of 15 from the field, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, only 2 turnovers. Like the overall line, besides the shooting, it's not that bad. I mean,
shooting's bad. I mean, and even if you look at that shooting, like, well, if he's not shooting those, who else is? Like,
right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was Walker not being able to be super involved in this game.
Yes. I still don't understand what really happened there.
Yeah, I don't either. And I'm not an X's and O's guy. Walker,
he wasn't in foul trouble.
He
ended the game with four fouls.
Yeah, but
there was a little bit of that.
And not really. He didn't have to sit because of it.
He got a second one towards the end of the first half. He got that third one in the middle of the second half. Like, it was not – foul trouble didn't keep him off the floor.
Yeah. He played 28 minutes.
Four assists in this game, and I don't remember – like, that didn't stick out of my mind when I was thinking about
this game. He led the team in assists.
Yeah. Usually not what you want from your all-conference big man.
I don't I couldn't figure out –
it was just a weird game with the whole flow of it. Like, everything was – off.
I know on the boards that Serbian dude was just killing him, just pushing him in the back two hands every time, and Adu did it as well. I don't really understand. I mean, they were letting him play fine, that's fine. It's just, man, that, like, it neutralized him in a lot of ways. Still don't know why we weren't getting him the ball inside, though.
No, yeah, it's inexplicable. We didn't run a lot of things for him. We didn't get him. He didn't get a lot of touches at the post.
I do think
he didn't have a lot of blocks. Like, it was kind of like, what was he doing on defense?
Yeah, and I thought coming in, I was like, oh, well, they got a bunch of short guards too, so yeah, we should be fine. But it seemed like every time Wendell would go in, and we just seemed really off. Like, I thought Wendell was throwing lobs three or four different times, and then they just hit the rim. Like, Walker didn't even, like, jump for him. It was an odd thing.
Like, Jabari cuts the game within three. And everyone in the gym is thinking, if Auburn can get a stop here, Jabari's going to tie this game. He had just hit a three and then gotten a four-point play. And it's now a three-point game. And we let their guard go right down the middle for a layup. Game over.
Yeah. On those
it's the most
too,
inexplicable thing I've ever seen a Bruce Pearl defense do. Like, there was no help defense. There was nobody coming over. Like, Walker had four fouls, but yeah, there's 3 seconds left in the game. Block the shot. Get a foul. You're better off fouling him. Maybe he misses a free throw.
I need to go back and watch, because every time they inbounded the ball, we'd have everybody covered, and then suddenly Fulkerson would come out of nowhere. He got it every time coming in.
Yeah, it was. He's a smart player.
Kessler's guy, and he came up that way, but I don't think so.
Do we want to talk about the technical for Jabari?
No.
There's a lot of opinions on that.
I'll tell you my opinion. There is.
And it was the timing of it. In hindsight, the timing of it looks bad. Auburn has taken an 11-point lead coming out of the half. Everything worked well.
Here's the thing.
And then Auburn gives up a 15-2 run.
I think Jabari lost a little bit of focus there, obviously, because he had the turnover right before that. He didn't do anything to get a technical.
Well, what are people thinking it did? That's what I want. When people say, oh, we got a technical.
Right.
What did the technical do? Did it make Auburn miss basketball shots?
Got Tennessee back in the game, apparently.
Did it cost Tennessee to make shots?
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
It gets the crowd back in it. It gets the crowd back in it. Okay.
But it's not like Auburn was blowing them out. I mean, it was at that point, it was still an 11-point game early in the second half.
It was an 11-point game.
But
the crowd was in it.
As for Will McLaughlin reported that it was kind of dead in there until that point.
But here's the thing.
I mean, I agree. I don't think the crowd was that in it.
Had he, let's say Jabari gets that technical foul, and the Auburn team goes on a run instead of Tennessee, would everyone say that Jabari technical foul? It was all of a sudden Auburn was, it's us against them. Which is what people do when coaches get techs. Coaches will get a tech, and everyone goes, okay, Bruce got that tech, because now it's going to get the team rallied around Bruce. Technical fouls are insanity to try to say.
Well, I don't understand why it was technical.
It's foul. Making and missing shots. Like, that's what wins you and loses games, not technical fouls.
He did not
fouls.
Do anything that deserved a technical foul. Nothing. Like, he didn't say anything. He was nodding his head, and the ref just teased him up. That's
He talked a lot of trash before that play to the guy.
I'm wondering if there had been a warning.
And I think he may have gotten warned. And then all of a sudden.
Right in front of the ref, right in front of our bench, they had a guy actually say something. And no technical there.
Right.
So, it's complaining about the referees.
I've seen worse techs called.
Well, I don't understand why that's a technical. Like, it
sure. I agree with that, but we see so many bad calls every game. I mean,
slap in the back.
I just didn't know if there were any hot takes on this podcast about.
I think there's an argument that Jabari lost a little bit of focus right there, and maybe that's. It did because he got that just
well clearly because I mean in the next eight and a half minutes after that Auburn scored 2 points.
Well, that's not just again the whole team. The technical foul did not cause Auburn to score 2 points in 8 minutes.
Exactly.
I think in our
it's a hindsight only thing
in our Slack. I think Nerd's point was that Jabari's like head was gone at that point, as they say in. We didn't score.
He was the only person who did score after that, though. Like, I was the only one who could make a shot.
Yeah, later. We went like 8 minutes without scoring. So, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I get why people think that technical was bad and Jabari having the turnover. I was more concerned with that just insanely dumb turnover than the technical because I didn't think the technical was a real thing.
I don't think momentum's real, but that's just me.
Son of Crow noted non-believer in physics.
No, that's right. Not physical momentum in games. It's like the hot hand theory is not actually true. Really good shooters are really good shooters. Period. Over a longer
my hands sweat all the time. I don't know.
Over a long period of time, it evens out. You'll see that a guy who hits 250 will hit 250. It isn't like he's all of a sudden is super good in the third inning. He just is going to hit 250. That's what he does. Jabari's going to make a lot of shots. You know why? Because he makes a lot of shots. Not because he's in a certain
one of the
gym.
Shooters I've ever seen.
Not because he's using a Nike ball. He makes shots because he makes shots. Because he can make shots.
He definitely doesn't make shots because of a Nike ball. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the Nike ball nonsense.
There's got to be something to it, man.
It's not nonsense, man. Shooting with a different ball is different.
Right. They also practice with that ball going into the game. Also, it isn't like Auburn is a really great shooting team, period.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So it's not like Auburn's like, man, Auburn normally shoots 60% as a team, and now they can't. No, Auburn's
it could
a pretty
explain things
fine shooting
like,
team.
It could explain things now that I think about it, like when like it looking like Wendell's throwing a lob and it ends up going and like it's a shot instead. That kind of thing a different ball could do.
No.
Because you're so used to playing with one other ball, it doesn't matter if you practice with it for a day beforehand. Like,
and the difference is very negligible. But it is a difference, and guys who shoot a lot, when you change the ball up, they will say, hey, this is harder or this is easier to shoot with. But it also isn't like they all of a sudden gave him a medicine ball or – you know what I mean? Like it's still – these guys have – and it isn't a brand new ball. These guys probably play with this ball in AAU tournaments growing up. Like they didn't just – hey, here's this new ball we just invented before this game.
I mean most high schools play with the Wilson
ball. Maybe this is Bruce's way of – like sticking it to Tony Barbie even extra all these years later of saying we would need to be a Nike school to compete. Clearly, if we had been a Nike school, we'd have lost every game we were played in. So
let's go on to another team that does not use a Nike ball because they're an Adidas school and they use a Wilson ball.
That's right. They did use a Wilson ball.
Mississippi State Bulldogs. Auburn has got to go to this game and has got to win it, guys. If they want to hang a banner up at the end of this season...
They want to hang a banner and no have no one else hang one. They have to win this game.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Would they make the banner non-fungible? Is that how that works?
Non-fungible banner.
A non-NFB.
One
banner, sure.
If they but if they win this game, they're hanging a banner, period.
Yep.
And that's
so let's just get it out of the way and make make Saturday a big old party. So let's win this game Wednesday. At the hump, right?
There's a top this is a, this is a this is a quad
my favorite
one.
Town in the SEC.
Yeah, sure. This is a quad one game for Auburn. Not going to be easy. Oh, yeah. They're top 50 teams.
These guys sucked.
No, they do not suck.
They're underachieving based off of their metrics. They're only 17 and 12. They're probably not going to be a tournament team because they're.
Yeah, they suck. They've lost 12 games.
They don't have a ton of out of conference success either. Their best out of conference win was Furman. Maybe a tournament team.
They've beaten Arkansas and they've beaten Alabama. Yeah. But they lost to Ole Miss and they lost to a terrible Louisville team.
Yeah, we better win this game. But didn't they start off like 4-0 in conference play and then something weird? I feel like they started off pretty good, maybe 4-1 or something like that.
I'm going to say this for Ryan. I'm saying this for Ryan. They're really not a very good three-point shooting team. And that's not just that they don't make them. They don't shoot them. They're last in both. Okay. They're last in makes and in attempts in the conference. They are really, really good at rebounding the basketball.
Oh, boy.
Which is because they're not taking threes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They got five guys down low.
They're taking a lot of twos. They get good offensive rebounds, and they get to the line.
They get to the
Hopefully
line.
We worked on boxing out this week because I did see a lot of just nobody knows how to box out anymore, apparently.
They get to Tennessee the line a ton, which makes me nervous for Walker Kessler. I keep calling him Walter. It's not his name. It's Walker. Walker Kessler Ranger.
Like old man name.
I just – if he can get under two fouls in the first – 15 minutes of this basketball game, we'll be fine. If his second foul comes before 10 minutes into it, I'll be nervous. Because we kind of have got, even though we have the best player in the country, it really comes down to how Walker and Wendell play.
Yeah.
Unless we have a supernova Katie Johnson game. Which has happened before. Well, if all of a sudden Kate Johnson goes, hey, I'm scoring 19.
You know, I at the end of the game, I was like, man, KB struggled again today. No, I scored 17 points.
Yeah, he had a pretty okay game. They have their best player is a guy who I think is going to be drafted. I think he's a first rounder. He's Iverson Molinar.
Yeah, he's given us problems the last couple of years too. This guy,
he's really good.
So,
he's a 6'3" junior. He gets to the free throw line a ton. So look for him to try to initiate some contact with Zepp.
And he's a good defender at point guard.
He's
too.
A really good defender
with his size. He's tough.
He'll be all over Wendell Green.
Yep.
But it won't matter, baby, because Jabari's going to go for 35 in this game.
Boy, I would love that.
You heard it here first. Jabari Smith, 35
Jabari
points.
Smith's last road game.
His last road game, he's going to go into Starkville, Mississippi, and get out of there with 35 points in a dub. Auburn's going to hang a banner. We're going to shoot off confetti before and after the South Carolina game.
I think Jabari's going to go in there. Have you guys seen that video of the newscaster that's doing the news and all of a sudden a bug flies in his mouth and he just drops his entire news persona?
Yes.
That's going to be Jabari in Starkville, right? Like, this country town.
I love that video.
That's a great video.
Last game of the season. Either Auburn's going in hoping to get a share of the conference title if they lose to Mississippi State, or Auburn is going into this game against South Carolina hoping to be the outright conference champions.
Yep.
And probably an overall number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And South Carolina is not very good. So they should be a team that Auburn beats. They lost to Cliff Ellis's Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
they, I don't know. Did they have a call?
Kaka. They lost to Princeton.
I say. Foghorn Leghorn.
They lost to Clemson. Those are three really bad losses. But they have beaten Mississippi State and LSU. But this is, they beat LSU, and LSU had like five healthy guys.
Right.
They have a Lex Luthor as their coach now, too.
Is that his name for real? No.
It's Frank Martin.
And he does look like Lex Luthor.
He went through some sort of transformation.
At first, I thought you said Lex Luger.
Oh man, I wish.
Ryan,
Lex Luger was a professional wrestler who competed in both the WCW and WWF, I believe.
Early Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Long blonde hair.
Like, are we talking about the Jesse Eisenberg Lex Luthor or?
No, this is Lex Luger. Oh. And Lex Luger had a...
I just wanted to make Chief mad by referring.
He had a finishing move called the torture rack, in which he would kick you in the chest or in the stomach, and then while you were bent over, he would put you in what is basically a fireman's carry over his head, and then that's basically it. And for whatever reason, like, that got guys to tap out. Even as a kid watching, I was going, I don't think this hurts. he just picked them up.
Boy.
I always picked him in the video game because of that.
A little bit of poetry here. Last time Auburn won the SEC regular season title, it was against South Carolina.
That's right.
Auburn opened the SEC season this year against South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, a little bookend action. Okay. Yeah.
How'd that one go?
Pretty good for your Tigers.
Yeah.
And Auburn won that game on the road, too.
Big road win. Made us all feel really good.
Using a Wilson ball.
Made those peacock feathers spread out a little bit.
Actually, I believe the week after that, after we were talking about South Carolina, was when we talked about Peacock.
Yeah. That's right.
So there we go.
And here's the thing about peacocking. If we win this game or if we lose this game, this season has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And this is not a collapse by Auburn. This is not any sort of like negative. Nothing negative happened this year. Basketball, you win some, you lose some. There's a lot of games. And there are a lot of really good teams in this league right now. This is not 2 years ago's Alabama, or this is not last year's Alabama conference championship when they won a very depleted, weird SEC league. This is as strong as I've seen Kentucky since the Anthony Davis team.
That may be why Alabama's down in the middle of the pack this year and not the top.
This is the second best team or second best conference in the country.
Yeah. They might send six teams to the tournament. Like
every country. Yeah.
Conspiracy theory, we threw that Florida game to get them in the tournament.
Oh, nice. So I really think that we could see, you know, some people showing their butts on Twitter after Auburn loses, if Auburn loses, and I don't want to see that. This is Auburn basketball, guys.
I think we've seen the last Auburn loss of the year.
I think we have too.
Same.
I think we have too. We're winning this thing. I believe, Ryan, that is, we have to win. We're going to win 11 games in a row. That's what we're
six
saying.
Six in the tournament, three in Tampa.
Yeah,
two more left in the regular season.
11 more games. You just got to win 11. We won 19 in a row already.
Yeah, we need an 11-game winning streak.
Let's do it.
Last time Auburn played South Carolina, it was a Wendell Green game. 22 points on 7 of 15 shooting.
I think that's the game that we were like, this Wendell guy's all right.
Yeah, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Who else went off in that game? That was a double-double for Walker, 12 and 10, 4 blocks. It was a quiet night for Jabari, though. Maybe he'll – probably won't happen again.
I had to guess. 70 points from Jabari. Just shoots every shot.
A quiet 10 and 1 from Jabari in that game.
Still double points.
I do want to do a little fact checking. This was the second SEC game of the year, not the first one.
Okay.
Apologies. The first game of 2022, the year.
Ah. Yeah, LSU was the first, right?
Right. Four years.
Boy. Yeah. I'm excited about these games. I don't think anyone would really deny that guard is where we have concerns right now. And it's not because of any specific things that Wendell Green has done. It's just that we don't have a shooter other than Jabari Smith, and we don't have what you would want from Alan Flanagan, somebody that can drive downhill and get to the bucket. We don't have it. We don't have either one of those things. If we had one of the two, I would, it'd be really, really hard to beat us. I think it's still really hard to beat us now. And by saying that guard is our concern, I don't mean to say that our guards are bad, because I don't think they are. I think they're more than capable of winning us games. Wendell's done it already. Zepp's defense is unmatched. And you know, Allen had some flashes against half the game against Tennessee. Flan was great.
Yeah, he had a really good game.
He's maybe the best player on the floor overall for that. But then down the stretch, he kind of turned back into some of what we've seen lately. But if we can just get him there, get him playing consistently for several games in a row, I just maybe 11 games in a row. I think we're.
I also think he's really actually
hard to beat us.
He's getting better each week.
His defense
is fantastic and never
Never let off on defense. Never let off on defense. And he's not my buddy Golson, friend of the pod, he was like, man, it just feels like at times giving the ball to Flans just that you might as well turn the ball over. And the game he said that in was the game on Wednesday, which Flan did not have a great game in. Offensively, but he's not actually turning the ball over that many times.
He's taking usually like not bad looks.
Yeah,
finding like hitting the bottom of the bucket and it just not going down.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
We know there's a player there. My explanation the entire time is I think it's mentally. He's just not where he needs to be, and I don't. That sounds worse than it is. There's a lot of the mental side of the game. When you get an injury, when you're rolling, the team changes. When you just come back into a team in the middle of the year, that can all throw you off. And maybe that's part of it, or maybe that's all.
He still has not had a consistent role on this team since he's been here, really. I mean, just think about his freshman year.
Right.
He's Isaac Okoro's backup, so he's not playing that much.
Yeah.
Okoro gets hurt. He comes in.
Just has to really come in.
Defense.
Yeah, for just a couple has to come in to defend. That's all
and he And then you don't get a postseason that year. The whole 2020 or 21 weird season with him playing point guard and shooting guard and looking like the best player on the team that otherwise didn't know what else it wanted to be.
Yeah.
And then has to come in and just be a defense first guy this year. And then he gets hurt and this happens to guys sometimes. It doesn't mean anything about him as a player, and he still has time.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes and has a good March here. No one will care anything about what he's done in the last month or two.
Right. Right.
So
feasibly he could be this team's Chuma Okeke, the guy that just the light comes on, and
NBA scouts like this guy.
It's because he's got
the numbers.
Got it all.
The numbers aren't there this year, and he's kind of fallen off some of the draft boards. He was a first round talent before he got hurt. Like, it wasn't just one or two places. I mean, he was all over every.
He was on every mock.
As much as we need a 3-point scorer, I think he just needs to be the downhill guy going into these last 11 games. Mm-hmm. Just get to the rack, man. Because we know he can do it.
He's done and nobody else in this team can.
Right. Even KD Johnson.
Right. Right. Yeah, KD. But Flan's, you know, 7 inches taller than KD. So.
Right.
And much bigger.
And willing to pass the ball. KD Johnson doesn't really do a lot of passing the ball. When he puts his head down, okay. KD Johnson's going to the hole. And you're going to have to take the ball from him.
That is my one hope for this team. And if it happens, that nobody will stop us. Is that Flan gets his groove back, and we've seen it. We've seen a little bit of it. So if you can just do it for a whole game, and then just string some performances together, I'll be extremely happy. But not just for Auburn, but for Flan himself, because I know this has had to have been a struggle for him this year.
Nice. All right. Well, guys. Let's go 2-0 this week. We're gonna get these dubs, and we're gonna come back next week and talk about the SEC champion Auburn Tigers.
One, two, three.
All right, everybody, have a warrior weekend.
Keep on cocking.